He prays before the arrest. Jesus knew full well that the disciples would all turn away from him and flee when things got difficult. He also knew that before many hours passed, he would be arrested, beaten, and then crucified. Yet in the brief time he has remaining to himself, he prays. In the moments left, he prays before the arrest. The seconds tick down, and still he prays. Jesus predicts Peter's denial, Matthew 26:31-56. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Jesus arrested. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, "The one I kiss is the man, arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. The garden. When the Last Supper is over, the group sings a hymn and heads to the Mount of Olives. Jesus and the disciples go to an area called the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he prays before the arrest. So much must have been on his heart. Such fear and apprehension must exist. He is still a man, feeling all human emotions as well as being the Son of God. The man side of him doesn't want to go to a hideous death any more than any mortal man would want this horror upon himself. It is not just to die, but to be tortured and agonized at the hands of the Roman Empire. Never in history was there a more brutal empire, nor one with crueler methods of execution than at this point of history, in this place. He knew that the death sentence for all sins would be upon him. He knew the lashes he endured before the cross would be for the bearing of all sicknesses for us all. We can't fathom the excruciating agony of it all, nor can we humans understand the worst. A perfect God had to turn from his own perfect Son as he takes our filthy sins upon his sinless spirit for us. Sin has no place in God's presence. Thus, when Christ cries out that God has forsaken him on the cross, that is true at that moment in time. All this Jesus knows. Prayer. Jesus prays for the cup to pass from him, but also for God's will above his desires. What better example could there be for us? Choosing God's will over our own in all things is always best, no matter what it brings. And so he prays before the arrest. The arrest. Events unfold. Judas comes and kisses Jesus to identify him for the men arresting him. Jesus calls Judas friend. Somehow that single word strikes me in my very heart, always has. Jesus calls Judas a friend in the midst of the most awful betrayal. Jesus, who, unlike the rest of us, was not mercifully spared from knowing the future. He knew what would befall him. He knew every lash and insult to come. Christ knew about every strike of the hammer pounding the nails into his flesh the next day. He knew. He also knew the one who betrayed him would bring this end to pass, and yet he called him friend. There was no condemnation, no anger, no curses, nothing but the word friend. The other disciples fled. After the skirmish in the garden with Peter and his sword used for cutting off the servant of the high priest's ear, all fled. The arrest is made, and not one of the followers of Christ is there with him now. Jesus is alone, faithfully fulfilling the prophecies of the ages in his soon sacrifice. Jesus is alone. The Savior of the world, the Son of Almighty God, is alone in the night.